Let's go to Australia. Bernard Keane of crikey.com is our correspondent today. Hello, Bernard.
Good morning. Good morning from lockdown.
Oh, look, sorry. It just, the heart breaks for you. It really does. It's looking like it's going to go on a while, and now people are toting up not just the personal impacts but the economic ones, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's reports circulating today in the Sydney press that Sydney will be locked down for another 4 weeks. I'd be very surprised if it was just 4 weeks. The numbers yesterday were a record high. There'll be some sort of easing of restrictions around construction, which is, apart from being Australia's biggest employer, is also a very economically significant industry. Lots of supply chain impacts, lots of financial impacts. That's probably going to resume. So that will take a bit of the edge off the economic impact, but you can't lock down Australia's major economic centre for what will probably be a couple of months. Well, it will be a couple of months without really significant economic impacts. We're looking at a negative quarter of economic growth nationally now as a result of this. Of course, Victoria and South Australia have also had really short lockdowns. And the government, the federal government's stepped up, a strong level of financial assistance without reverting to the kind of support measures that we saw last year. But the government's under a lot of pressure to really significantly further increase the support for businesses and people in New South Wales. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I think there's a real risk that if New South Wales does not get on top of this, then the economic consequences could bleed into the next quarter, the December quarter. Which will start at the beginning of September, and then we're into sort of technical recession territory. And the problem around all this is the lack of certainty. Until we get, a high level of vaccinations, these sort of lockdowns are going to continue to be a risk. And how many businesses and, for that matter, households are going to want to spend up big or make investments when there's an ongoing possibility of these sorts of things. So one step at a time, but at the moment, certainly in terms of economics, as well as the human and health impacts, things are looking pretty bleak here in New South Wales.
Well, the lockdown protests were quite sizeable, an interesting combo of folks by the looks of it. But, it's got up to 15,000, didn't it? That's not insignificant.
No, and I mean, as you say, I mean, the diversity of these protests was quite remarkable. It was fascinating to, just from a sociological point of view, I guess, watching white supremacists and far right people, marching alongside Muslims and people from various sort of different ethnic communities from the southwest of Sydney. It was a real sort of sorting house of different ideologies and causes. There were disgruntled small business people from southwestern Sydney. Southwestern Sydney is the area which has been most harshly locked down because it's had the highest level of circulation, and it's a very, very highly multicultural area of Sydney. But there were conspiracy theorists there. There were the usual anti-vaccination crowd. There were libertarians there. It was your A to Z of different causes. And as you say, really quite large. I mean, surprisingly large, and a real indicator that beneath the surface, particularly in urban Australia, there is a lot of discontent, and not just about, not just about lockdown, not just about matters to do with the pandemic. Things around precarious employment, things around the kind of economy that we've got at the moment, where there's an ever greater pressure on people to work long hours, often in multiple jobs across multiple sites to pay very large mortgages. I think that sort of economic pressure is fueling at least part of the anger and the frustration that we saw back on Saturday. And I wonder where that's going to go. I mean, the police here are saying they're going to make sure there won't be any sort of any further marches. But that frustration and that anger, I suspect, is going to find a way to channel out, and not just online. I mean, obviously these protests were organised online, but I think there's going to be continued pressure against these sort of lockdowns, given that we're facing at least another month of them.
We had an interesting communication yesterday, and I've sent it to you, organised out of Australia, but I think some New Zealand artists are involved again, just pleading that some of the support that seems to go the way of sport might go the way of the art sector as this impact of lockdowns continues to wipe people's livelihoods, yeah?
Absolutely. And look, the arts sector has... our tourism sector probably is still struggling to a degree, but Australians can, at least until the recent lockdowns, have been able to travel around Australia and go to tourist destinations. Our higher education sector has suffered a lot as well, obviously very reliant on foreign students. But our arts sector, which, just to be economically rationalist for a moment, is a very large employer and a very significant generator of economic activity. Just put aside the, you know, the cultural significance for a moment, purely as an industry, it's really quite significant. Our arts sector has really done it as tough as any and tougher than most. And it has not been able to recover from last year's pandemic. Obviously, the entire arts sector was basically shut down last year. Successive lockdowns in areas like Victoria, which is probably Australia's major arts hub, certainly to a greater extent than Sydney, that's really kicked that sector very hard just as it's trying to get up. Now, the most recent lockdowns. And as you say, Australia's really good at providing support for sport. We pour hundreds of millions of dollars into so-called elite sport, which gets everyone very happy when the Olympics roll around, but the rest of the time doesn't actually seem to do very much. We've bent the regulations to enable mass sports like rugby league, rugby union, football, to continue to have competitions inside various bubbles. But the arts sector has got none of that sort of rule bending and very little of the kind of taxpayer support that we've seen, and it's such a marginal sector. I mean, so many people in that sector, you know, live and work from gig to gig, and when you don't have anything on the horizon, that's your, not just your livelihood, but your career shut down. And there's been a big push from artists doing what they do best, putting together really quite impressive pitches and advertising campaigns to try to alert people to what I think is a pretty fundamental inequity here in Australia. We love our sports. We say we love our arts, but, we don't back it up with assistance from governments.
Thank you, Bernard Keane, our Australia correspondent today.